The word of God given to us today is Psalm 119, verses 169 to 170. Allow me to read the words. May my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. May my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. Amen. Today's scripture is from the final 22nd stanza of Psalm 119. Through these two verses, I hope we can reflect on the meaning of crying out to God and consider what we need when we must cry out as we live our lives. Let's look at verses 169 and 170. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. The poet must have cried out to God for a reason. There is no cry without purpose. Before we examine the poet's cry, let's first look at two examples from the Bible of when people generally cry out. In Genesis chapter 18, there was a cry during the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. At the time, justice and righteousness had collapsed, so the cry was one that denounced injustice and the state of sin. God heard this cry and sent an angel to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis chapter 41, we see another cry during the time when Joseph was the governor of Egypt. This cry occurred during a severe famine that lasted for 7 years. All of Egypt was starving. The cry at that time was the cry of the people of Egypt directed towards Pharaoh, the king. As we can see, when people cry out, there are various reasons, but it typically happens when justice and righteousness have collapsed or when they face a threat to survival. The poet's cry in Psalm 119 also falls under these categories. The Hebrew word translated as cry in today's passage, rina, originally means a creaking sound or a shout. The sound carries a neutral meaning. It is not a sound made only in times of hardship and pain. It is also a sound made in times of great joy and delight. In several passages of the Bible, this word is also translated as sing or singing. Therefore, depending on the situation, this word has been used to describe a sound of joy, a song of joy, or a sound of anguish, a cry of distress. The cry in today's passage is used in the latter sense. The original meaning of this word is a creaking sound or a cry. When an object creaks, it is usually because the object is not properly aligned or functioning. If furniture or something else creaks, we would fix it. In the same way, when human society is not functioning properly and produces a creaking sound, God hears that sound, that cry, and will take action to ensure it no longer makes that noise. The poet, by crying out to God, is asking God to intervene so that neither he nor his nation would continue to suffer under the collapse of justice and the turmoil it causes. However, the poet did not cry out merely as a scream of pain. As expressed in verse 170, my supplication, his cry was a heartfelt prayer directed toward God. This leads us to ask an important question. When we face deep sorrow or great suffering, whether economic, mental, physical pain, uncertainty about the future, or threats to our very survival, should we, like the psalmist, cry out to God in prayer? Does God only respond when we cry out? There is the English translation of the lyrics from the gospel song, "Let Us Look to the Lord Alone." With eyes of love, God is always watching over you. With ears of kindness, He is always listening to you. He shines a bright light into your darkness, and He responds even to your smallest groan. Wherever you are, turn to the Lord and look to Him alone. Like the lyrics of the song say, God hears the groans of His children. This is undeniable. However, we cannot assume that every groan automatically counts as a prayer. A biblical example related to groaning is found in Exodus 6 verse 5, where God speaks to Moses. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. In this verse, the groaning is simply a sound of suffering, a moan of pain. It does not mean that they prayed. At the time, the Israelites had been living in slavery for 400 years and did not truly know who God was. Their groaning came during a time when they were struggling under harsh labor and did not even clearly know the one to whom they should pray. When Exodus 6:5 says that God heard their groaning and remembered His covenant, it means that He had compassion on the people with whom He had made a covenant, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It does not mean He was responding to their prayers. Even those who do not believe in God can groan in distress without knowing who to pray to. Of course, God always listens to the groans of His children and has compassion on them. That's why, at the right time, He relieves their pain and suffering. But since God's children do not know when that time will come, they should not stop at just groaning. They must cry out to their Father when the situation calls for it. In moments when we should cry out, do we actually cry out? This leads to another question. Is it really necessary to cry out? What if someone continues to worship faithfully, serves diligently, and lives a life of quiet devotion? Can't they just offer a gentle prayer instead? Does this mean that crying is only for those whose faith is weak? The prophet Elijah, who was taken up to heaven without experiencing physical death, was certainly not a man of little faith. Yet even Elijah cried out to God in the midst of unexpected hardship. In 1 Kings chapter 17, during the time when no rain fell on Israel for 3.5 years due to Ahab's sin, God sent the prophet Elijah to Kerith Ravin, where He fed him through ravens. When the brook dried up, God sent Elijah to the home of a widow in Zarephath of Sidon, where he was given bread. It wasn't because the widow's household was well off that God sent Elijah there. At the time, all she had was a handful of flour and a little oil in a jar. Yet she made bread for the prophet Elijah. As a result, a miracle occurred. Until the day rain fell on the land, the flour in the jar was not used up, and the oil in the jug did not run dry. Up to this point, the story is deeply moving. However, after these events, the widow's son became seriously ill and eventually died. The miracles she had witnessed until that point seemed meaningless in the face of her son's death. the joy she once felt was now gone. In her grief, the widow spoke to the prophet Elijah with these words found in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 18. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" The prophet Elijah must have been deeply troubled by the widow's words. First Kings chapter 17, verses 20 to 21 testifies to what Elijah did in that moment. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him." We can see that having great faith does not mean one never cries out. We all face unexpected situations. How can humans possibly understand all of God's works? In desperate times, we cannot help but cry out. Because of Elijah's cry, the boy was brought back to life. In the gospel, Jesus tells the parable of the widow and the judge and speaks these words found in Luke chapter 18, verse 7. "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cried out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?" The Lord taught his disciples that when they cry out day and night, God will bring about justice for them. It is important to note that the petitioner in this parable is a powerless widow, and the prayer is for justice to be served. Jesus' parable is closely related to the theme of God hearing the cries of those who suffer and cry out when justice and righteousness have disappeared, as mentioned earlier in the sermon. Here we cannot help but ask a repeated question. Does God only respond to crying out? In desperate situations, must we go into a room alone, cover ourselves with a thick blanket, and cry out loudly, or attend a mountain prayer retreat or a loud prayer meeting at a city church just to cry out? Not necessarily. God responds to our quiet prayers and even to our sighs. However, crying out carries a sense of urgency. It does not have to be loud, but it must be earnest. There must be a silent cry, a deep earnestness. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he fell to the ground in prayer. The Gospels do not record that he cried out loudly at the time. But he wouldn't have prayed silently so that the disciples couldn't hear him. The Lord prayed earnestly to the Father. This is described in Luke chapter 22, verse 44. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Do we have a cry, whether a loud shout or a silent plea, that is filled with earnestness? In the first part of Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, God speaks to the prophet Jeremiah with these words, "Call to me and I will answer you." God commands us to cry out. The psalmist of Psalm 119 cried out. The prophet Elijah cried out, and the prophet Jeremiah also cried out. In the book of Lamentations, it is testified that Jeremiah cried out to God. We must cry out when it is time to cry out. But does crying out immediately remove the difficulties of reality? when God said to Jeremiah, "Call to me." Jeremiah was imprisoned in the courtyard of the guard. God was fully aware that Jeremiah was in prison. He knew, yet he did not immediately deliver Jeremiah from his confinement. When we are deeply sorrowful or in great distress, there is no way God would be unaware of it. Yet, he does not immediately deliver us from those situations. Instead, as he said to the prophet Jeremiah, "Call to me and I will answer you," we should think that he is speaking to us in this way. He would be saying, "When you cry out, I will answer you, but the timing of that answer is determined by me." We need to cry out while patiently waiting for God's timing. Until then, perseverance is necessary. The time of God's answer to Jeremiah was in his plan of salvation. If the situation we face is different from that of the prophet Jeremiah, what kind of waiting do we need? We need the kind of waiting expressed in the psalmist's confession found in today's passage. This waiting goes beyond the concept of when and includes the concept of how. Let us read verse 169 from today's passage again. "May my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word." The second half of verse 169, "Give me understanding according to your word," parallels verse 170's, "Deliver me according to your word." Both verses share the phrase, "according to your word." What does "according to your word" mean? In the Pentateuch, there are passages showing that when the socially vulnerable suffer injustice and cry out to God, he hears them. One example is Exodus chapter 22, verse 23, where God says, "If you ever harm them and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry." As such, God does not ignore those who cry out to him. So, if we ask again, are all prayers of crying out answered? Even those who believe in God may not receive an answer if they are not in the right relationship with Him. God told the prophet Jeremiah not to intercede for the people. For reference, Jeremiah was a prophet active during a time when Judah was about to be destroyed. This is Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 14. "Therefore, do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them. Do not plead with me, for I will not listen when they call to me in the time of their distress." Here, unlike Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, where God says, "Call to me and I will answer you," he says, "Do not cry out or plead." He declared that he would not listen not only to Jeremiah's cries, but also to the cries of the people. So, what is the reason the cries go unanswered? God reveals the reason in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 10. "They have returned to the sins of their ancestors, who refused to listen to my words. They have followed other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken the covenant I made with their ancestors." The reason cries go unanswered is because they refused to listen to God's words. They did not acknowledge God as God. Some may find it hard to understand that God would ignore the cries of his people just because they turned away or refused to listen even once or twice. But the people repeatedly rejected. The number of their betrayals was beyond counting. Jeremiah chapter 11 verse 13 testifies to this, where God says, "Hasn't Judah's collection of idols and incense caused this place to be defiled? They have built the high places of Topheth in the valley of Ben Hinnom to burn their sons and daughters in fire." It means there was no area of their lives where they did not rebel against God. Their entire life was a life without God. So after much patience, God decided it was time for discipline. God conveyed his firm judgment to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 14, verses 11 to 12. "Then the Lord said to me, 'Do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them, because I will not listen when they call to me in their time of distress. Though they fast, I will not hear their cry. Though they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Instead, I will destroy them with sword, famine, and plague.'" The reason God does not listen even when people cry out is because they refuse to listen to his word and do not acknowledge him as God. Although the people rejected God's word, the psalmist in Psalm 119 cried out based on God's word. "Those who pray, 'Save me according to your word,' know who they are praying to and strive to listen to God's word in a proper relationship with him. Even if they have disobedience, faults, and sins, they recognize their shortcomings and sins through the word and pray with a repentant heart. When they cry out in this way, God hears them." Let me ask a question here. God told the prophet Jeremiah not to cry out on behalf of the people. But what if the people had repented and cried out themselves? Would Judah still have been destroyed? Jeremiah chapter 26 verse 13 gives us God's answer through the prophet. "Now reform your ways and actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring disaster he has pronounced against you." We can also see God's true heart in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32. "For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live." God does not destroy those who repent. But Judah did not turn back, even to the end. When we cry out and there seems to be no answer, it may be because God's appointed time has not yet come, or because we have not turned away from a life of disobedience. However, if we repent, turn from our disobedience, and pray according to the Lord's word, God will not ignore that cry. Another important point to notice is in verse 169, where the psalmist says, "Give me understanding according to your word." The psalmist earnestly desired understanding, specifically understanding in accordance with God's word. This reflects the heart of someone who not only cries out in prayer, but also longs to understand God's will, just as in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4. We can understand this verse as the psalmist expressing a willingness to listen, to hear, and receive God's response after crying out in prayer. Whether it is by remembering a scripture or gaining clarity about God's will by the work of the Holy Spirit, we need time to listen for God's answer. As Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you." After crying out, there must also be a time to listen and receive what God is saying. Our prayers should not end with simply crying out. This is one of the reasons our church practices silent prayer. During the early morning prayer service, there is time set aside for silence. The Tuesday intercessory prayer meeting can be described as a time of crying out in prayer, yet it also ends with a brief moment of silent prayer. Our church also provides a prayer room specifically for individuals to engage in personal silent prayer. Prayer is a time of communion with God, a time of dialogue, not just monologue. When prayer ends only with crying out, it is not, strictly speaking, a complete or proper prayer. If it ends solely with a loud plea, then it becomes, quite literally, a creaking sound as previously described. In that case, our relationship with God is unlikely to deepen. For our relationship with God to grow, prayer must go beyond crying out. It must include a time of listening in silence, a time to hear God's voice through His Word. I pray that after offering your earnest cries of prayer, you will also enter into silent listening prayer, and that you will receive God's response as promised in the following scripture. This is Psalm 107, verses 19 to 20. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave." Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace that allows us to pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you for being the one who straightens out what is out of line when the world groans with creaking sounds, and for being our Father who answers when justice and righteousness collapse and we cry out against injustice. May we never remain silent in our suffering, knowing this grace, but always cry out to you. Help us remember how our Lord Jesus prayed with such intensity that His sweat became like drops of blood. May that same earnestness be found in our prayers as well. Even if we find ourselves crying out because of our faults and sins, Lord, lead us back to you. Grant us the grace of repentance that turns us from disobedience to a life of obedience to your word. When we cry out from a place of pain and speak only from our own thoughts, cause your word to come to our mind. Teach us to pray according to your word, and after our earnest cries, grant us the grace of your response, understanding your will during the silent prayer of listening that follows. May we then live lives aligned with your word, lives that press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us, and live lives worthy of the calling we have received. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.